Chapter 15. Business Principles and Methods. There is no branch of legitimate business for which the Bible does not afford an essential preparation. Its principles of diligence, honesty, thrift, temperance, and purity are the secret of true success. These principles, as set forth in the book of Proverbs, constitute a treasury of practical wisdom. Where can merchants, artisans, or directors of men and women in any department of business find better maxims for themselves or for their employees than are found in these words of the wise man? Do you see those who are skillful in their work? They will serve kings. They will not serve common people. Proverbs 22, verse 29, NRSV. The drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe them with rags. Proverbs 23, verse 21, NRSV. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. Proverbs 13, verse 20, NRSV. The whole circle of our obligation to one another is covered by that counsel of Christ: in everything do to others as you would have them do to you. Matthew 7, verse 12, NRSV. How many might have escaped financial failure and ruin by heeding the warnings so often repeated and emphasized in the Scriptures? One who is in a hurry to be rich will not go unpunished. Proverbs 28, verse 20, NRSV. Getting treasures by a lying tongue is the fleeting fancy of those who seek death. Proverbs 21, verse 6. The borrower is servant to the lender. Proverbs 22, verse 7. To guarantee loans for a stranger brings trouble, but there is safety in refusing to do so. Proverbs 11, verse 15, NRSV. With these principles are bound up the well-being of society, of both secular and religious associations. They give security to property and life. For all that makes confidence and cooperation possible, the world is indebted to the law of God as given in His Word, and as still traced in lines often obscure and well-nigh obliterated in human hearts. The psalmist's words, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of shekels of gold and silver," Psalm 119, verse 72, state an absolute truth and one that is recognized in the business world. Even in this age of passion for getting money, when competition is sharp and methods often are unscrupulous, it is still widely acknowledged that, for a young person starting in life, integrity, diligence, temperance, purity, and thrift constitute better capital than any amount of mere money. Yet even of those who appreciate the value of these qualities and acknowledge the Bible as their source, but few recognize the principle on which they depend. That which lies at the foundation of business integrity and true success is recognition of God's ownership. As the Creator of all things, He is the original proprietor. We are His stewards. All that we have is a trust from Him, to be used according to His direction. This obligation rests on every human being. It has to do with the whole sphere of human activity. Whether we recognize it or not, we are stewards, supplied by God with talents and faculties, and placed in the world to do a work appointed by Him. To every person is given the work for which his or her capabilities are best suited, the work that will result in greatest good to the human race and bring greatest honor to God. Thus, our business or calling is a part of God's great plan, and so long as it is conducted in accordance with His will, He is responsible for the results. As God's servants working together, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, NRSV. Our part is faithful compliance with His directions. Thus, there is no place for anxious care. Every faculty is to be exercised to its highest capacity, but the dependence will be not on the successful outcome of our efforts, but on the promise of God. The word that fed Israel in the desert and sustained Elijah through the time of famine has the same power today. Therefore, do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6, verse 31 to 33. The tithe is the Lord's. The God who gives human beings power to get wealth has with the gift bound up an obligation. Of all that we acquire, he claims a specified portion. The tithe is the Lord's. All the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, the tithe of the herd or the flock, shall be holy to the Lord. Leviticus 27, verse 30, 32. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Malachi 3, verse 10, is God's command. No appeal is made to gratitude or to generosity. This is a matter of simple honesty. The tithe is the Lord's, and he tells us to return to him that which is his own.
It is required in stewards that they be found trustworthy. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, NRSV. If honesty is an essential principle of business life, must we not recognize our obligation to God, the obligation that underlies every other? By the terms of our stewardship, we are placed under obligation not only to God, but to humanity. To the infinite love of the Redeemer, every human being is indebted for the gifts of life, food, clothing, and shelter, body, mind, and soul. All are the purchase of his blood. And by the obligation of gratitude and service thus imposed, Christ has bound us to all members of the human family. He bids us, through love, serve one another. Galatians 5, verse 13. See also Matthew 25, verse 40, Revelation 1, verse 14. By all that has blessed our life above others, we are placed under obligation to every human being whom we might benefit. Never can we safely lose sight of the fact that the goods we handle are not our own. We are but stewards, and on the discharge of our obligation to God and needy humans depend both the welfare of other people and our own destiny for this life and for the life to come. Cast your bread upon the water, for you will find it after many days. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Luke 6, verse 38. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. Malachi 3, verse 10, 11. Seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Isaiah 1, verse 17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and will be repaid in full. Proverbs 19, verse 17. NRSV. All who make this investment lay up double treasure, besides that which, however wisely improved, they must leave at last. They are amassing wealth for eternity, that treasure of character that is the most valuable possession of earth or heaven. Honest business dealings. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Psalm 37, verse 18, 19. God has given in his word a picture of Job, a prosperous man, one whose life was in the truest sense a success, a person whom both heaven and earth delighted to honor. Of his experiences, Job himself says, just as I was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were around me, when I went out to the gate by the city, when I took my seat in the open square. The young men saw me and hid, and the aged arose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and put their hand on their mouth. The voice of the nobles was hushed. Job 29, verse 4, 5, 7 to 10. See also Job 31, verse 32, 29, 21 to 25. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10, verse 22. The Bible shows also the result of a departure from right principles in our dealings both with God and with one another. To those who are entrusted with his gifts but indifferent to his claims, God says, "Consider how you have fared. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And you that earn wages to put them into a bag with holes." Haggai 1, verse 5, 6, NRSV. Will anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, "How are we robbing you?" In your tithes and offerings. Malachi 3, verse 8. The accounts of every business, the details of every transaction, pass the scrutiny of unseen auditors, agents of him who never compromises with injustice, never overlooks evil, never palliates wrong. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. Job 34, verse 22. Against all evildoers, God's law utters condemnation. They may disregard that voice, they may seek to drown its warning, but in vain. It follows them and makes itself heard. It destroys their peace. If unheeded, it pursues them to the grave. It bears witness against them at the judgment. A quenchless fire, it finally consumes soul and body. What will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Mark 8, verse 36, 37, NRSV.
This is a question that demands consideration by every parent, every teacher, every student, by every human being, young or old. No scheme of business or plan of life can be sound or complete that embraces only the brief years of this present life and makes no provision for the unending future. Let the young be taught to take eternity into their reckoning. Teach them to choose the principles and seek the possessions that are enduring, to lay up for themselves that treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. Luke 12, verse 33. All who do this are making the best possible preparation for life in this world. All who lay up treasure in heaven will find their life on earth enriched and ennobled. Godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8.